Praise God. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God always wants to do more. That's just the way He is. Wants to do more. Hallelujah. You know, thank God we want to develop our faith, but we have to have an expectation that He will do more. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to have communion this morning. And before we do, I want to share with you, there's thing the Lord spoke to me, I know He wanted me to share it with the church, is I've made mention the fact that concerning our election and stuff, the Lord hasn't really spoken much of things to me. And I shared with the fact that when He did speak to me after the elections were over, He said, all I want you to do is trust me. And so I haven't specifically spoke to Him about the election. I pray, you know, for our president. I pray, you know, for our nation and things. And but I haven't, you know, asked Him anything about it. I just trust Him about, you know, this thing going on. It's because one of the things that I you know, there's things that God doesn't say, but you pick up in your spirit, is there. I had a sense that there was a lot of things in our nation that people are praying. There's a lot of frustration, and people are praying from frustration and things. And they're not really from the standpoint of faith. You know, when the Lord spoke to me that He wanted me to trust Him, one of the things that, I just, you know, examined myself, and I thought, you know, I've been letting some of this stuff that's going on aggravate me, you know, bother me. And you can't do that. You got to get away from that stuff. It's one of the things is you got to watch what you listen to online. You got to watch different things. You know, it's one of the things that, I realize, you know, we look and we say we would want Trump to be president, but we have to get over the places. We got to be in a position where we can trust God no matter what the situation is. We got to come to that place where we're not afraid about what happens, that God will look after us. Well, I've just been going along and doing that. And on Tuesday morning, I woke up in the morning about 10 after 4. It was one of those things that I woke up and I was wide awake. And so, but I mean, I didn't sense an urgency of anything, and I just woke up, and I just thought, I have the tendency, if I wake up in the night, then I just pray. I usually pray till if I would go back to sleep. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'll just stay awake from that time on. And so I just started to pray, and I was just wide awake, and I prayed for about, maybe 20 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes. I didn't look at the clock exactly, but I was praying, and then I got to sense something going on in the inside. And was very surprising to me is what came, the Lord said to me on the inside. It wasn't some booming voice. I just heard this on the inside of me. And He said this. He said, and I was shocked. He said, do you see how many people voted for my plan? And when he said it in a very pleasing way. And I thought, well, people aren't acting like that. This has been good or anything. But I'm thinking, now this is all He said. It's all He said. He said, did you see how many people voted? And then He said, 74 million. I think they said it was 72 something. And I thought about that because He said 74. But He said this. He said, 74 million people voted for my plan. Well, I knew what He was talking about. He said, voted. That was for Trump. He said, Trump's His plan. But there's also this. I've always had this. When the Lord says something, He says a few words, but all of a sudden you just know things. And one of the things that I knew was the fact of it is people are not praying for God's plan. They're praying for Trump. There's more interest in Trump than God's plan. We're more interested in the person than in God's will being carried out. We need God's will carried out. But God is pleased the fact. He said, you see how many people in your nation voted for my plan? It is quite, you know, the mess America's in, it's amazing as many people voted as it did for the mess in America. Well, see, God looks at the fact that something good happened. And I thought, gee, you wouldn't get that, but listening to ministers and different people, they're not talking in that manner. I thought, see, it's one thing is, I think God wants us to get a bit quiet about some of these things and hear what He's saying. We're trying to make things happen, and he is trying to do things. And our making things happen are messing up his doing. He said this to me. He said, speaking of those people that all voted for him, this is what he said. Now, he didn't say any more about it. And so I'm not reading anything into it. You read whatever you want into it, nothing. But he said, I'm going to go to work for them. Now, he didn't say Trump's going to be the president. Don't get it. He didn't say that to me. But he said, I'm going to go to work for them. What? Those 74 million that voted for him, his plan. He said, I'm going to go to work for them. I thought about the thing because it's just like with Randall Greer. Randall Greer, the Lord spoke to him back some years ago, back in, I think it was 2009, and said to him about people who would get into his boat and support his ministry. The Lord said he'd take care of them. And in fact, when this COVID thing all started off, the Lord spoke to an angel, appeared to Randy Greer by his bed one morning and told him, says, you tell the people who are in your boat not to worry, that God's going to take care of them. You tell them. And see, it's getting in God's boat. You know, in the middle of all these troubles and things and stuff going on, I've often thought about it. You know, I obeyed God and got in Randy Greer's boat because that's what he told me to do. And, you know, when people, everybody complained about during Obama's days, we prospered. We did well. And they said about all this stuff, but God blessed us. And see, this is one of the things is doing the will of God. And when the Lord said to me, he said, I'm going to go to work for them. God's going to work for us. God's working for us. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to work for them. He don't look at that. He looked at the people who followed his plan. He's excited about the ones who did. The ones who followed. Because, you know, he's a good God. He's looking for a door that he can go be open so he can bless people. He's looking for somebody who will obey or who will believe that he can do something. And 74 million people in America said, I'll take that. Now, that don't even mean they're all Christians. But I'll tell you what, God will bless whoever he can. God will bless them. Hallelujah. So I just want to encourage you. That morning when I got out of bed, I'll tell you, I was just really hopeful. I was like, praise God. God's not looking at this thing like we're looking at it. He says, did you see how many people in your nation voted for my plan? And he said it very happily. I mean, he didn't say it. Like, oh, you buzzards, what are you doing down there? He didn't do that. I just think, I thought about it. What if God and Jeremiah, if he could have got some people that would have voted for God's plan in his day? We got 74 million voters in our nation to vote God's way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. You know, that there was better than Elijah. Got 7,000 haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Glory to God. He got 74,000 that didn't bow to Baal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I just want you to be encouraged. You know, I'm just going to go along and just following what I know to do and just keep trusting the Lord. And he's going to take care of us. Hallelujah. He has great plans for the Church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So today we're going to be having communion here this morning. It's a few things I just want to share with us. Is one of the things that Lord spoke to me about is dealing with communion this morning. Is one of the things that has been, you know, with me over the last few years is things that Kenneth Hagin had said when the Lord Jesus appeared to him. And dealing in the areas of communion and teaching and healing, one of the times that Jesus appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin and talked to him about the areas of healing. And folks, healing's hugely important. And especially, you know, in the church, God's people being well. God's desire is his people be well. That's his desire. I mean, when the Lord spoke to me the year that I was born again, and he had said to me, one day he really got me involved over in the areas of dealing with healing and started to teach me things about healing. And I was in the bedroom upstairs in one afternoon, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, out of, you know, when my people get born again, filled with the Spirit, he said, the number one thing I want for my people is to be well, to be healed. He said, when my people are sick, he said, the devil, He said, they can't do my will. He said, the devil steals their money and he steals their time. So they can't follow me and do my will. See, you need to, it's your view. I learned this in the beginning. It's your view about sickness and disease. How do you view sickness and disease? You know, it's number one. I watched this COVID thing. Christians don't hate it. Heck, most Christians don't know if it's God or whether what it is. They don't know what's happening. They don't know if God's doing it, God's not doing it. They don't even know. But they don't hate it. It's one thing. God said, I want my people well. That's the number one thing he said. What's the number one thing in your life? Is it God's thing, number one in yours? You see, to be well is a huge thing. There's a lot of families are destroyed because of sickness and disease. A lot of families separated. People die. People, you know, all kind of things. Money's robbed. Families can't do the things they need to do, can't take care of their families because of sickness and disease. And in America, all they do is run the government. We need better insurance. Well, better insurance, that don't heal families. Better insurance don't do none of that. They don't fix none of that stuff. You know? In fact, better insurance might just prolong the agony in your family more. But see, God wants you well. He wants you whole. That's God's plan. And see, we need to, and understand that, you have to get that in you, because if you don't, you'll never have strong faith for healing. You have to know God wants you well above all. He is on your side about this thing. He said, my people, number one, I want them well. See, this is one of the things that I got so strong in the areas of healing. Because I want to know what God's will is on the subject. Most people are looking that, you know, God gets sick and then God will heal you. That's not his best. That's not God's best. God's best is we stay well. That's the best. He wants us to stay well. So, I know this. No matter what happens, even if I trip up and I mess up, I know God wants me well. That's his will. His will is for me. He's never working against me. He's always working for me. Always working for me. See, I'm not trying to get something God doesn't want. Well, Kenneth Hagin came along and Jesus appeared to him, and Jesus said to him, and he said he was really shocked because he learned things that, and there's things that I learned from him that, he for years thought a whole lot different about it because of the way he was taught. But the Lord said to him, he said, I didn't put gifts of healing and the gift of faith in the church to heal the church. He said, I gave them, he said, put them in the church to heal the world. He said, the church is supposed to be healed at the communion table. And what did he mean by that? You just wait to the communion service and then get healed? No. It's the fact of his communion. See, Jesus, we are supposed to be healed, the community. He gave himself. We're one body with Christ. We're one with him. See, healing is something that's ours. It's not something we're trying to get. You don't need a special gift to be healed. You don't need that. You don't need... See, healing is yours. It belongs to you. It is yours. I mean, think about from the standpoint, just if we would, you know, just take 1 Peter in 2:24. Now it says, who himself, he said, bore our sins on his body on the tree. He himself did that. He bore our sins in his body. See, people do it right. Well, Jesus took my sins. Oh, and they believe that. Why don't we believe the second part of this like we believe the first part? I don't get it. See, I taught Bible school for numbers of years, and I used to teach the life of Christ. And one of the things that I used to teach in the class was from where the four men brought the lame man to Jesus and took the roof off the house and dropped him down. And when he dropped him down, Jesus said, son, he said, your sins are forgiven you. And the people around there, there was Pharisees and scribes there, and they said, oh, is this guy this blasphemy? You know, say, who can forgive sin but God? And this is what Jesus said. Jesus, basically, this is how we'd say it in our vernacular. He said, I'm going to prove to you I can forgive sin. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And I used to teach. I used to teach and say, you know that healing is the proof that God forgives sin. How can you believe God would forgive sin and you don't believe healing belongs to him? I want to know how you do that. Because healing is the proof. So I used to, in giving a test, I always put this down on the test, and 99% of the students would always get it wrong. I would put down, what's the easiest to do, get your sins forgiven or be healed? And everybody would always answer, to have your sins forgiven. That's the easiest. That's exactly why the church can't get healed. Exactly why they can't. Healing is the proof that God forgives sin. Jesus said to you, you going to argue with me on the point? No, you have been religiously brainwashed, you have been religiously taught, and you won't give it up. You like to hold that. I don't know why. Jesus would heal me just as quick as he had forgiven me my sin. He would heal me just as fast. 1 John 1:9 always works. Now you try to get, I go to a Baptist church and they'll tell you it always works, but healing don't always work. That's what they'll tell you. Sometimes God wants you sick. So sometimes God don't want to forgive your sin. God wants this year coming up to be a year of health and healing. Amen. That's what he wants it to be. Now we could have had it any year, but he wants us to get focused on this thing. You ain't counting healing to the world when you can't figure it out for yourself. You're not going to preach any conviction to them that you're not convicted of. If you're not convicted, it isn't for you. You can't preach it with any conviction to them, and you can't pray with any conviction for them. You won't do it with any conviction. The more you're convicted of its truth, that conviction will carry off into the demonstration of power. Your conviction. Because that's founded in your faith. That's where your faith's at. Your faith is where you're really convicted that it's so, this is so, this is what's right. This is, and that's where your faith takes a hold. And see, God wants you to take a hold this year, that this is the year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This, God wants to restore to the church. Jesus went about teaching and preaching and healing. That was his ministry. I'm going to tell you, if I ain't got that ministry, don't give me another one. If we ain't going to have the basic, I don't know what. People say, I want a miracle ministry. Yeah, well, why don't you get into the one Jesus had in the first place? People want something beyond. I'm going to tell you, this world. I mean, if somebody, this world gets healed, I mean, they just going to be excited. Because sickness and disease is running rampant. And in the church world, it is amazing. I think it's overrunning the Christians more than it is the world. See, we need to come back to the basics of truth. God wants you well. God's desire is for you to be well. Hallelujah. He's not against you. If your faith isn't up to where you want it to be, he's not going to try to stop you from rising. He wants you to come on further. He's not trying to hold you back. He ain't talking against you. He's trying to move you up. Hallelujah. Glory to God to go further. Amen. Hallelujah. He himself bore our sins on the tree that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness. Hallelujah. By whose stripes, that word also is means to wounds, you, it says, were healed. And it didn't say you were gone, it says you were. You were. Do you know you were healed? Do you know you were? See, quit trying to get what you were. What you already have, you don't have to try to get. You never have to try to get what you already have. You know, if I go to the bank and I ask for money, I'm not asking for money like the guy who stands in the corner with a cup. Because that, none of that money belongs to him unless somebody happens to give it to him. When I go to the bank, that money in that bank's mine. I ask for what already belongs to me. That's a whole different kind of asking. 99% of Christians pray like the guy holding the cup. That is the unsuccessful prayer life. That's the prayer life that goes nowhere. I'm not holding a cup. I'm going in. My asking is on a demand of what belongs to me. I don't have to go in and get arrogant with them or anything. I can walk in the bank and I can walk up and I give them my account number. And if I'd say, you know, whatever I wanted out of that account, they'll just give it to me. Now, if I ask for what isn't mine, they ask you, where's your cup? You know, you're begging for money now. You're talking about loans. See, we're not loaning. We're going and asking for what's ours. We're going and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. Hallelujah. You said by your stripes I was healed. I want to thank you that I'm healed. Thank you, Lord God. I just want to tell you, Lord, I just appreciate you healing me. Say, well, you don't feel healed. Well, that's why we use faith. Faith is what you use till you get, till it shows up. Faith acts like it has it and just get, praise God, I got it. Praise God, this belongs to me. Hallelujah. It's mine. And see, that's what we do. We just walk by faith. By His stripes, you were. Glory to God. So when we take communion day, communion reminds us of who the one we're in. Who we're in. We're in Christ. We're in the one who took our sin. We're in the one who's our righteousness. We're in the one who took our sicknesses and bore our diseases. That's who we're in. We're one with healing. You know, healing and you are supposed to be one. You're supposed to be one with it. We're one with healing. Hallelujah. It's ours. See, it's you know, changing the way we think. When I came into the kingdom, I noticed this. Most of the teaching on healing was people trying to get healing. And when I saw the truth, I listened closely to Kenneth Hagin teach. I realized he taught different than other people. We're listening to people teach. And they said, I would run into people all the time, and I still do today. Have you been taught healing? And I ask them questions about healing. Almost all of them are wrong. People are always wrong in their answers because they're all trying to get healed. They haven't been taught they were. They haven't been taught they were. They haven't been taught. We talk about the goodness of God, and I'm going to tell you, He's 1,000 times better than the people tell it. Well, He will heal you. I'm sorry, He already did. He's better yet. He didn't wait around till I asked. He did it before I ever asked. Hallelujah. Before I ever, 2,000 years before I ever asked for healing, He already gave it to me. Amen. See, we don't know what good is. We think good is because it showed up one day. That was good. No, it's when, my God, He's so good. Hallelujah. 2,000 years ago, He already said, it's yours, you can have it. I want it for you. And so today in communion, we're reminding you of that. Hallelujah. We're reminded about the blood of Jesus. I want to read to you just here from the Romans in the 5th chapter. For when we were still, this is Romans 5th chapter verse 6, when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. How many qualified for that one? Hallelujah. See, I was qualified. He died for the ungodly. Do you understand? Jesus died for the ungodly. See, we don't preach that today. Everybody, God loves everybody. Everybody's good, generally good. I've heard ministers say that. Spirit-filled ministers say, people are generally good. And I think, my God, you ain't even decent. You talk ungodly because people aren't. See, I was ungodly. That's what I was. I was ungodly. And Jesus died for me. See, He died for the right guy. See, I qualified. You know? Hallelujah. Kenneth Hagin told a story about a guy who got healed one time. The minister said he was the most evil guy in the town. And while he was still a sinner, God healed him. And the minister said to Kenneth Hagin, why did God heal that guy? He said, I don't know, but the Bible says Jesus died for the ungodly and He qualified. He said, that's all I know. Hallelujah. So if you're the ungodly, you qualified. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. He said, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then. Much more. I like the word much more. So now it's going to get better. Hallelujah. Much more. Having now been justified. You know, you've been justified. You know, the word justified there can also be translated made righteous. Now, having been made righteous or justified, how? By His blood. See, we take the blood and we drink the blood. Why? We're justified in drinking the blood of Christ. We're justified in uniting ourselves one with the blood of Christ. We're right in doing it. Your righteousness is being right. Hallelujah. You know you're right. See, I don't understand. I must be right by faith because I can't, naturally I can't see it right. But by faith I'm right. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and by the blood I can unite myself with one with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And so can you. Glory to God. Much more by His blood. It says, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. There's wrath to come. We're saved from the wrath of God. See, people look through the wrath of God. You need to understand. You know why there's wrath of God? Because wrath is part of the love of God. Did you know that? Wrath is part of the love of God. You see, nobody ever loved who has no judgment or justice in themselves. You don't love a person that you would not deal with them in justice or judgment. You don't love them. You don't love your children if you never judge them for what they do. You don't have love for them. If you just let your children go and let your children go, you wouldn't love them. No, we have justice and judgment. And wrath is part of the justice and judgment of God. I'm glad because, see, I know this. He loves me. He sent Jesus for this point. So you and I and anybody else that wants to accept him, that his love, in his love, we get bypassed the wrath. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. You know what wrath is? It's uncontrolled anger. You know what? I read the Bible and saw God's controlled anger. I don't want to see the uncontrolled one. I've seen judgment of God, but I don't want to be on the side of the uncontrolled. See, this is why people have such a hard time reading the book of Revelation. Because most of the church world and the majority of ministers don't understand the love of God. And they can't look at that thing and understand why he would do what he does. Because they don't know love. Heaven will be full of hell if preachers had their way. Hallelujah. God has great pleasure in us. And he desires, I tell you, he has a kingdom for us that's going to be so glorious for us. We're going to live so gloriously. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanks, Jesus. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Hallelujah. We already got it. You and I are reconciled to God. We're not enemies. Hallelujah. We're on the same team. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're not playing against God. See, when it comes to healing or anything, we're not playing against God. We're not trying to get him to do God. We're on the same team. We're on the healing squad. Amen. Hallelujah. We're on the blessing squad. We're on the reconciliation squad. We're not on the wrath squad. That's what we've been playing against. That's what we've been going every Sunday, battling against. Hallelujah. But we're not on that team. Hallelujah. We're on the team. Glory to God of the reconciliation. Hallelujah. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been justified. Hallelujah. Made righteous by God. Hallelujah. It don't get any better than that. And communion is our reminder of these things. Hallelujah. The body and blood of God. We're blood of Christ. We're one with God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray here. Father, we just thank you this morning, Lord God. We're so grateful for the Lord Jesus. We're so grateful, Lord God, of your great love that you did show to us. And Lord God, that love wasn't just for us. It was for all humanity. And Father God, I want to thank you, Lord God. You're still reaching out through your love to ones around us. You're still reaching out, Lord God, to the ones that haven't responded. You haven't quit. And but we want to let you know that we thank you. Lord, I thank you for the ones who preached the gospel to us, the ones that came and told us the truth. And Lord God, through simple faith in Christ Jesus, it's the most amazing thing you did to make us righteous. And by the blood of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, reconciled us to yourself. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord God, that on that cross that Jesus went to, that law that was against us, that law of sin, Lord God, that stopped us from coming to your presence, it was nailed to that cross. Lord God, that today we, as your children, can come boldly to the throne of grace. And Lord God, that's what we do today. Lord, as we take these elements, we're reminded by these things of you, Lord God, of your greatness, of your majesty, not of what we can do. Lord God, Lord, we wouldn't have faith if it wouldn't be for you. We wouldn't have that. We'd have no confidence. You have put these things in us, Lord God. You have given us these things by the wonderful words that you have spoken to us, Lord God, and gave us revelation by the Holy Spirit that we can see and know the truth. Hallelujah. Because knowing that truth is what's brought freedom to us. And we thank you today. Father, as we take these elements, we do it in honor of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, in honor of all that He did for us, of taking our sin, Lord God, and also our sickness and our disease and all of our poverty, all of our mental torments, all of whatever has come against us, Lord God, all the frailty of life, He took it upon Himself so we can be more than conquerors, hallelujah, so we can live in victory in the name of Jesus. And I want to tell you today, I am thankful, Lord God, for your goodness and mercy. And Lord God, we just honor and praise today the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, and I'll have the servers come and we'll take communion together this morning.